Welcome to the Innovation World Young Collaborator Podcast Series. Today's podcast is titled Chemical Comics with Dr. Colleen Kelly. My name is Siddharth Vikram. I am 9 years old and I live in Carlisle, Massachusetts, USA. Today's guest comes to us from Tucson, Arizona. I first learned of her amazing work during one of my initial global innovation field trips. A few things about her. She is the creator and founder of Kids Chemical Solutions, which is a comic book based curriculum intended for ages 8+. She has been teaching chemistry to thousands of college students for about 30 years. She's on an amazing quest to make chemistry enjoyable, accessible, and fun. She has used storytelling, which in my opinion is the best form of teaching. Please welcome to the show a chemist extraordinaire, a teacher at the University of Arizona, and an author of amazing comic books, Dr. Colleen Kelly!
Thank you so much, Sid. That's my best introduction ever. That's really, really great. I love the energy.
You're welcome. May I call you Dr. Kelly?
Sure.
Okay. So, I have a couple of questions for you. My first one, starting with, can you please tell us what really got you interested in chemistry? Because you're a chemist and everybody.
Yeah. That's a tough call. When I look back at my childhood, I did not have chemistry sets or I didn't really have an interest in science per se. But when I got to high school, I had a really great high school chemistry teacher. And it was a really fun combination of solving problems using numbers and math, and then this kind of cryptic language with symbols. And to me, it felt like I was solving a puzzle or a mystery, and it just was a lot of fun. So it was really just hitting high school chemistry and thinking, man, this is really a great course.
That's a good startup for a profession. I have to say so myself. Good chemistry teacher, good startup for a profession.
Right.
What age was this story taking place at? Like, which year were you in high school or something like
that? Yeah, I was about 16 when I really started to dig into chemistry and think this is something I wanted to major in college. So I became just really interested in it that year and just keep taking chemistry courses until... after my freshman year of college, I began a research program and I was working in a
professional. I'm curious to know, what was the first chemical experiment that you ever did? And what is your favorite chemical reaction? And why is it your favorite?
Okay. Well, when I was a sophomore in college, I had my own independent research program. Under an advisor, but the first reaction that I did that was mine, where I discovered something new, was abstracting or yanking a hydrogen atom off of another element called silicon. And when you did that, it formed a double bond with iron. So it was this kind of cascade of events, but it had never been done before. And for me, that was really thrilling to do a chemical reaction for the first time in all of history that it had never been done before, to create a molecule that had never been made before. I didn't realize until I hit that moment that that's what research was about in chemistry, that you can create new molecules. So I thought that was just spectacular. Wow. And then your second question was my favorite chemical reaction. I am an organic chemist by trade, and there's a chemical reaction that's called a Diels-Alder reaction. It's also called a cycloaddition reaction, and it's like a dog chasing its tail for electrons. It's this cascade of events where electrons kind of dance around and grab each other and form kind of a new circle. And I love it first because when I was first introduced to it in college, I didn't understand it. It befuddled me for a long time. And then when I got to graduate school and was studying my PhD, I was doing more of those reactions and started to catch on. And now when I teach that reaction, I get really excited because it's just, I just think it represents fun to me because you just see electrons kind of scooting around from one place to the other, forming new bonds in a this cascade of events.
Yes, so that seems like a wonderful chemical reaction. I literally have the periodic table right in front of me, and I was literally looking at, okay, where's silicon minus hydrogen? I have your MC detected form. It's right here, and that's where I got the periodic table. They're extremely fun to read and very informative. I'm sure our audience is extremely curious to know more. Can you tell us a bit more?
Sure. The MC Detective Agency is a series of kind of mysteries, and some are based in history, some are based in fiction, and some are parodies of some popular movies. So they kind of go all over the place, but they use chemical concepts to traverse an episode. So whether they're solving a mystery or helping to save some people or figure out a puzzle, there's some chemistry involved in each comic book.
I see. So a comic book that kids learn without knowing they're learning.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I think that's my favorite kind of comic book.
Oh, good.
So I have a few more questions about the comic. Why did you choose MC as the main character and why her? And I hope, please don't spoil who it is. So whoever's reading won't get a spoiler.
Oh, okay. So without the spoiler, MC I'm just a huge fan of MC, let's just say. And I've traveled to MC's laboratory and have gone to MC's archives. And I just think MC is a fascinating study in history and just is one of those people that I think is should be studied for accomplishments and ingenuity and grit and determination. MC just represents all of that to me, in addition to just vision and steadfastness and all kinds of things.
Now I get it. Now I can understand why you chose her as a main character. How many books are there in the series? And when is the next book coming out?
So there, right now there's currently four. There are 10 planned, and 5 and 6 will be coming out likely in 2024, maybe 7 as well. But there are 10 planned in the series, so we're plugging along to get all 10 of those done.
Okay, you have to tell me once it gets released, because I'm already raring to read them.
Okay, thank you.
So how did you get inspired, really, to create the detective agency? I know you wanted to teach kids, but why did you use superheroes? Why did you use the comic version? Like, what got you inspired to use it in the format, in that kind of format?
That's a really great question, Sid. There's some kind of quote, I know it's not direct, but inspiration comes from desperation. And I would say that's true for me. I was desperately trying to entertain students in a course called Organic Chemistry with stories so that they could better imagine and connect with what the molecules were doing. So molecules, as you know, when they're reacting are invisible. We get clues of what they're doing, but we really can't see, we can't watch them playing with each other, if you will, or dancing with each other. So in an attempt to make that more real in students' minds, I would tell them stories and equate a molecule with the character and say it's kind of like this, and to kind of animate and bring invisible molecules to life through caricature. And then I just started making up my own stories and having a lot of fun with that, and wanted to create a curriculum around these stories that I had been working on for dozens of years. The students were loving them. They kept saying, we want more stories. And so I tried to write them in different formats, and The only format that really stuck was the comic book format because it's dialogue rich, as you can see, and it's action rich. And there's also, it's illustration rich, where, you know, where you have Poppy and Ray jumping around on the periodic table. That's hard to write in a chapter book. So that combination just seemed to work best as a comic book. So the comic book wasn't my goal. It's just what evolved from wanting to reach students, and that's the format that came out to be most effective.
So I have seen your Poppy's puzzles and all of those kind of things, and they're extremely fun to do and extremely interesting. So how do you come up with them and like get the ideas, and do you contact kids and all of that stuff? Because I want to know. Because then I can make my own and stump my own friends.
Yeah. So Poppy's Puzzles, I'm working on more right now. And in fact, today I just made up 3 more games. I just look at the periodic table and think of all, when you're creating and in the creative mode sometimes, Sid, you take a couple of things that you know from disparate worlds, from different worlds, and try to combine them. So I was looking at different games that kids play with balls, like tennis, basketball, golf, those kind of things, or adults play those as well. And so how can I relate this to any of the topics in the comic book? So I just try to find different fun activities that normally aren't associated with chemistry and combine that with chemistry. So it's a creative process on my end. And I'm still going, trying to find more ways to make games out of the periodic table, ions, and just keep going with it. So yeah, it's a super fun creative project. And all summer I'll be working on, you're gonna get, maybe 75 more pages of Poppy's Puzzles by the fall. So we're working on putting those out because the students are really devouring them. And so I need to create more. So.
Yeah, I literally just finished 2 a few days ago and it was really puzzling. So why are your comics not available? Are these comics available in digital form? Because I'm going to sit by the computer all day long to read them.
The comics are not available in digital form, and they may be at some point available in digital form. I wanted to lead with a paper form for a lot of reasons, Sid. One thing I embrace is equity in education. And I wanted to create an accessible and equitable platform. And for students who live in rural areas without access to high-speed internet or would have to go to, drive somewhere to access internet, I wanted to create books that could exist in the library for free. So rural students could go to a library maybe and check out a comic book or a set of comic books and bring them home. I also want to make sure that in the age of COVID, I've been very sensitive to parents' concerns about screen time. So for example, I imagine that kids could now sit in the backseat of a car and read the comic book on their way to soccer practice or to a family trip. And that would eliminate some screen time. So those are 2 reasons. The third most important reason is chemistry is a science of drawing. And so right now in Poppy's Puzzles, you're not drawing a lot, but eventually you will be. And when you get tested in chemistry later on in life, you're going to be drawing, at least in the foreseeable future, with a pencil. So that paper and pencil interaction is a chemical skill. Chemists still draw to communicate with each other. We use whiteboards. There's a lot of those whiteboard talks between chemists. So it is the medium of this discipline of science. So I wanted to also mirror that and create that kind of environment.
Yeah. Now that's convinced me to at least take out a few minutes of my screen time. Because I know what you're saying. You need to get off the screen time. I have another question for you. For the kids reading your book today, What impact do you hope to have on them in the future, near or far?
Great. Yeah. Well, my dream is that your generation, Sid, has a deep and profound understanding and love, and has the ability to have something what I call molecular literacy, where you're literate in molecules and you're fluent in chemistry. And that's because you, as you know, in your own inventions, we're going to need that molecular literacy to solve some of these big problems that we have. So for example, if we're talking about carbon footprints and carbon dioxide, if you understand that carbon dioxide is a linear molecule that's nonpolar, and what that means, that becomes a lot more meaningful. So I think in order to connect with the world, your generation can benefit from these comic books, because these comic books will impart the ability for you to understand the molecular world and solve things at a molecular level. It doesn't mean that everybody needs to become science. So literacy is different from becoming an expert, right? But everyone then can understand, there's labels that are, or warnings about PFAS in, you know, products, and what does that mean? I would love for people to be able to draw that set of molecules and understand why they are harmful to the environment and to your body, instead of just using the initials and saying they're bad. It's such a, my dream is that you all, your generation, has a deep understanding of molecules so that you can use them for good and understand how they can be and how they exist in our world. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I add that impact. The books already impacted me that way. I can say so myself. So I just want to add a comment to our audience on how I love reading the books. It was truly giving me so many cliffhangers, feeding me with a truckload of information, such as how electrons have no weight, and the Niels Bohr, a model of an atom, is wrong, and something, and I can't name it all. What gets me really interested is that this book is just not a long, boring chemistry book that has a bunch of content. It's a super fun, easy to read comic book that both of them are equal information, but everybody would rather read the comic book. So we have a couple of minutes, but I don't want to let you go without asking you, what can I do to introduce all of these books to my school?
Oh, Sid, that would be great. Yeah, I would, if you don't have all four yet, I would recommend that you have all four. And it sounds to me like you also have the activity packet too. There's a robust activity packet and card games, and there's more things coming out on the website, but I would bring them to school with you and just show your friends. That's probably the best thing to do, is to sit down and read with some friends, show it to some of your teachers, see what they think. And yeah, just sharing it is great. And sharing them live and reading together is really a fun way to get people engaged.
Why where do you put chemistry in? Do you think it's one of the most important subjects? Because I would want to see what you think, how amazing chemistry is to all of the people out there. Do you think it's the best subject, or do you think it's not the best? Because I want to know your opinion about it so other people can see how amazing it is.
I think it's the best subject, Sid. I'm sold. I have not wavered from that in a very long time. I'm much older than 16 now, so I've had 40 some years of studying chemistry, and every day I learn something new in chemistry and understand the world at a deeper level. If you're a curious person, chemistry will appeal to you, because it never stops unveiling some mysteries and ways to understand and look at things. And I do think when you understand the world on that level, it's like you have magic eyes. You can look at things a lot differently and say, oh, that's why. For example, we were talking with a patient. I do a lot of medicinal chemistry. We were talking about with the patient about blood clotting. And there is a term called blood thinners. It's a type of medication. And I always tell my students, your blood can't get skinnier. You know, there's no such thing as blood getting thinner. It makes your platelets slipperier. So it's really important to think about, you know, a blood thinner really is something that makes your platelets from being stuck together to being a little more slippery. So what does slippery mean? And then you can look at the molecular structure and see how that slipperiness works. So there's a lot of ways for you to understand what's going on. Take care, control of your health, take care of your environment. In a really fun and imaginative way that'll make you giggle when you think about, you know, your platelets, when they're clotting, they're stuck together. But when you don't want them to clot, they are slippery. And what does an anticoagulant do? Things like that. So that's just one example that came up yesterday of zillions.
So in one of your websites, I read on how you consider chemistry like music. I was very interested in that quote. So could you explain a bit more?
Sure, yeah. Chemistry is like music because both, when you study music, you're studying symbols and you're interpreting symbols. So for anybody listening that's a musician, they know when they look at a sheet of music, they probably hear it. So they are looking at it, but they're also hearing it at the same time. If they're a pianist, they'll hear it through the sounds of a piano, or if they're a guitarist, they'll hear it through strings. Chemists, when they look at the same types of symbols, see how the molecules can dance together. So we see an animation. We don't hear them, but we see something that's not apparent to the rest of the world. So if you've not been trained in music and you look at a sheet of music, it means nothing to you. If you've not been trained in chemistry and you see a sheet of paper with chemical equations and reactions on it, it doesn't mean anything to you. But once you understand the symbols and become fluent with the symbols, then everything becomes alive. And I made that connection recently because I'm trying to convince the world that we should be teaching chemistry to students ages 8+. At the same time when they're learning music, because chemistry is fundamentally based on understanding symbols, much like music. And the younger you are, the easier it is for you to process that symbolic understanding.
Okay. I want to see how, I want to do slight before I have to ask more questions or we have to go. I want to do a slight thing where you tell me all of the hardest chemical things that you know, and I try to see if I can understand them. Let's test my knowledge that I've gained from the books.
Well, how many books have you read?
Two.
But okay.
I'm going to read more. Trust me.
Okay. All right. So you read the first two. All right. So with the first two, I would say, do you have a periodic table in front of you? Okay, good. All right. So, how many neutrons does aluminum have?
Okay, aluminum. What's the, what is the short way of saying that again?
So aluminum is capital A, little L.
Thank you. I can't find it. That thing's a map. You're right. It is really a map.
It is a map.
Give me a sec once I find it.
It's going to be near the yellow line. Do you see the yellow line?
Yellow lines. Aluminum. So if aluminum has 13 protons and its atomic mass would be rounded to be 27, if I'm right, the amount of neutrons that are there are 14.
Excellent. Good job, Sid. That's really good. Yep, that's one of the more difficult ones is for students to calculate the number of protons, neutrons, and electrons in a given atom.
Okay. Yep. I feel like our audience now is going to know what kind of information they're going to be getting from the book. And since I'm not 9, I'm not older than myself right now. They're going to know that I learned a lot from the book.
Cool. That's awesome.
how do you think chemistry is connected to all of the other subjects? Do you think it is, or do you think it's a lone subject? Do you think, like,
I think it is. Yeah, it's definitely connected. Depending on what area of chemistry you study, you may use mathematics more or less. Not all chemists use mathematics. I don't use a lot of mathematics in my area. But so if you're a physical chemist, which is a chemist who is also a physicist, they use more math. So there's definitely ways that you can be more mathematical or less. But I think it applies to literature. It applies to certainly media, public media, like understanding the news and understanding, for example, when we were going through COVID, how a vaccine would be made and distributed and how it would work and things like that. So I can't really think of anything it's not related to. That said, that's because that's where my mind is most of the time. So when I'm reading a book and I find something that's chemistry-like, I connect it.
Yes, I can get that. For people that are interested in learning way more about your work, how can they reach out to you? Could you tell them the link to your website?
Yeah. Our website name's a little bit long, so I'll say it slowly. It's KIDS, K-I-D-S, chemicalsolutions.com. So KIDS, chemicalsolutions.com. And that's where you can find out all about, we've got research, we've got pictures, we have other podcasts. We have a description of some of the beginning episodes, some character descriptions, and all kinds of fun stuff. We have our research results from working with fourth graders. So there's lots kids can learn about there.
I saw one of the videos that you have on it, and I didn't really see more. Where is there a channel where you can see those kind of videos? On like, let me say that more in detail. So as I was searching, there was one video that I found about a bit of one of the episodes. I think it was a Vanishing Van Gogh or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Where do you find more of those?
Because we're in development of those, Sid. There will be an animated series coming soon. So those are not available to view yet because we're still under development and thinking about those.
Okay. Just quick question. What are you going to be coming to Boston or MA, Massachusetts anytime soon? Because I would love to meet you in person.
I would love to meet you in person too, Sid. That would be so fun. I do not have any plans, but I will be in New York quite a bit this fall. My son is moving to New York City. So that would be a hop, skip, and a jump up to your area from New York City. So that would be super fun for us to go through some more discussions together about science in general.
How does the taxi in the book get its quantum juice?
There's some things that I've kind of left to its imagination, right? So I think that would be a fun backstory. And if you felt like writing that, that would be awesome. Because there's some things I just kind of gloss over, and that the taxi getting its quantum juice to time travel is one of them.
Okay, so I'm all out of questions, and I'm sure that our audience has learned as much as you've said. So I know our listening audience has extremely, really, I need another word to emphasize it, but our audience must have extremely enjoyed your work and learning about it, and learn more about this program and others by visiting globalinnovationfieldtrip.org and innovationworld.org. Thank you for joining the Innovation World Young Collaborator podcast series. This is Sid signing off until next time. And this is Colleen Kelly also signing off.
Yep, thanks, Sid.